It's time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.
You go to my head and you linger like a haunting refrain.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, with the haunting refrain
of Arthur Schwartz.
The food wine line comes after that, like a glass of sparkling champagne.
Yes.
Well, it's yeah, so.
So, yes. I had everything but champagne yesterday. At, you know, nobody cooks for me. Roseanne Gold, once in, I'm invited, you know, for a party or whatever, and she cooks, but not for me, for a group. Everybody's scared to cook for me. For what reason, I don't know. I mean, you can. I eat very simple. But I have a long-time listener and now friend, Janet Guido, who a cook knows when they talk to another cook that they cook, that they're good. And so I always knew that Janet was good, but I didn't know how good. Now, I have to compliment you, Janet, not only the cooking, but I couldn't believe that by the time we were leaving, she had cleaned up the kitchen also. Of course, where we were eating is attached to the kitchen, so we could all socialize while she was cleaning, but she was amazing. Anyway, Janet is partly Neapolitan, and her mother cooked Neapolitan food, and so I knew I was going to get a Neapolitan dinner. I also knew it would be too much food, so I prepared by only having a tiny snack at midday, and then we arrived at the Neapolitan eating hour, which is 3:30, 4 o'clock on Sunday, you know, the big Sunday family dinner. But in this case, it was just Janet and her Aunt Jackie, who I also know from previous experience, and Aunt Jackie is a hoot. And Aunt Jackie only made the clam sauce because, as Janet says, she makes the best clam sauce ever, and I will say that she does make the best clam sauce ever, and I'm fortunate enough to have some home. I got everything got sent home with me, by the way, so I'm going to eat this dinner twice. Probably midday today, we'll reheat some of it. You know, this is something I don't do anymore when I make a Neapolitan meal, but Janet stood and did deep frying. She made mozzarella in carrozza, which is a deep-fried mozzarella sandwich, and as soon as I bit in, I knew she'd gone out of her way to get some great mozzarella, which she did. I said, oh, you went out of your way? She said, oh, yeah. And, you know, quality of ingredients is extremely important, especially when there are only three ingredients. But the other two fried items were not three-ingredient things. Now, this is a very Neapolitan thing that most Americans don't know about because it was never Italian-American so much. It's eggplant meatballs, except there's no meat in them. They're eggplant balls, or in Janet's case, and actually in most cases in Naples, they're not round. They're flat, like, you know, little palette things. I think they call them palette sometimes. And you make, there's a recipe for this in, by the way, you know, I have all these recipes in Naples at table, but never exactly the way somebody else makes them. And hers were particularly good. And I knew right away it was a little modern in that instead of frying the eggplant before mashing it up with breadcrumbs and cheese and garlic and parsley, I think she used basil, which was a good touch. You know, in Naples, one change of ingredient makes it something different. So they also, so she had boiled the eggplant instead of frying it. So even though the result was deep fried, it was a light. And I'm looking forward to that for lunch today. Also, now this is, you know, I always want to walk away with something that I can do too. So I'm calling Janet this morning and asking her how exactly she makes her arancini, her rice balls. There was something totally different for me. It was a mixture of ricotta and a little bit of, I'm not sure, shredded or diced mozzarella, the already cooked rice, seasonings, and then these balls, which I think must have sort of barely held together when she was rolling them. She rolls them in breadcrumbs and then fries them. Unbelievable. It's like fondue in the middle. It's so creamy and savory. And also, the rice is not I said, oh, these are so different than any arancini I've had. This is the way her mother made them. But usually a rice ball is mainly rice. In Sicily, they're stuffed with things, but in Naples, they're just little rice balls. Then we moved on to the pasta, the spaghetti with clam sauce. And one of the features of this clam sauce, which I really appreciated, was that the clams were barely cooked. You know, so much of the time you get clam sauce, even in Naples. And by the way, spaghetti with clam sauce is considered of a higher order than spaghetti with tomato sauce in Naples. And people are surprised to learn that spaghetti with clam sauce is actually more popular, certainly in restaurants for sure, more popular than a pasta with a tomato with a red sauce, because Neapolitan food is not all about red sauce. I mean, come to think of it, but we didn't have any red sauce last night, and it was a very Neapolitan meal. So Aunt Jackie puts the clams in at the very, very end. They must have been shucked. I have to ask. They must have been shucked clams, because when I make clam sauce, I steam the clams open, and of course, then they're cooked. So I have a hunch these were shucked clams. You know, I'll never be able to reproduce Aunt Jackie's clam sauce exactly, but I'm going to ask her how she did it. And I don't know, we had a whole Trump-free dinner last night. We had plenty of things to talk about that weren't about politics, which was also a relief. And we did a lot of conversation, because this dinner went on forever. Because, of course, Janet had made an enormous quantity of food, because after the pasta, you have to have some meat or fish or whatever. But she made these, one of the reasons I knew I was going to eat well is because whenever we talk about cooking something, we agree. We both, you know, more than loving the same things, we also hate the same things. So, like, I'm not going to name the market, but a certain market that everybody seems to rave about, we have the exact same opinion, and we also have the same opinion about pork chops, which was we prefer rib-end loin chops to center loin chops. And if you've never even thought about rib-end chops, go buy some. Ask your butcher to cut you some. It's the less, let's put it this way. Should be a less expensive piece of meat, but more delicious, because there's more marbling at the rib end. As you know, ribs are very succulent. So a rib end loin has a small eye from the loin, and then it's surrounded by other darker muscles. And, of course, if you could make them on the bone, all the better. I have seen them in stores without the bone. Americans don't want to deal with bones, but anyway. You should, because the meat near the bone is the best. Anyway, Janet just fried them, finishing it off with capers. And
did she put anything? Talk a little bit about what she put. Did she just salt, pepper?
That's it.
Fry
capers. Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
in olive oil.
And we had broccoli. Yeah, probably. I didn't even ask her.
I'm just curious.
And we also had broccoli rabe, which she cooks differently way than I do, and I love it, and I'm glad I have. By the time we got to the pork chops and the broccoli rabe, I was bursting, mainly because I always follow the rule, fill up on appetizers, because you never know what's coming, even though in this case I knew what was coming. But no, the real reason was her fried things were so great, and it was such a treat to eat, you know, now I'm forgetting the Neapolitan expression in Neapolitan, but it really means the best way to eat fried food is from pan to your mouth.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so here I had the opportunity, somebody who was willing to stand by the stove and deep fry and bring it to the table right out of the pan, and it's also so well done. So I ate way too many eggplant and rice fritters, and actually had 1.5 like whole sandwiches of mozzarella and carota.
Hey, it was Super Bowl Sunday. You can just say that.
Well, I know. So Super Bowl Sunday. We had a Super Bowl free dinner. All the things that cause anxiety. Although I was very happy when I got home to see the Eagles won. I'm not at all a football fan. I knew nothing about the Patriots and the Eagles until maybe 2 days ago, when you couldn't avoid learning something about them. And I was rooting for the Eagles, and especially since my nephew and his family live in Philadelphia. And I love Philadelphia. And I'm not all that fond. Well, I love New England, too. You guys must all be Patriots fans up there, right?
No.
No? Good. I don't know. I'm not a fan of anything except this great dinner. So, but speaking of Super Bowl, I never talked about Super Bowl Sunday last week because it's one of those, well, you know, only recently is it a really a food-associated holiday. When I say recently, probably, I don't know, how many years you think, 20 years? That's, to me, recent. You know, where all these Super Bowl parties.
Longer.
Where people,
longer.
It's longer than 20 years?
Yeah, because I had a really good friend in California whose big party every year was a Super Bowl party. That was mid-80s.
Mid-80s, yeah, so 30 years ago.
Well,
yeah, anyway.
It's the 52 Super Bowls, and I think it really caught on.
To me, that's still recent.
I think it caught on probably 15 or 20 years into the Super Bowl, where they started getting parties.
And what year was this of the Super Bowl?
52.
This is number 52.
So 30-something years ago,
That's probably when it
started. Well, we all know what Super Bowl food. I didn't feel I needed to talk about it last week. I mean, what is there? There's chicken wings. There's guacamole. There's the seven-layer dip, or however many layers you make. I actually was introduced to that at a suburban friend's outside Detroit, where apparently you could not have a party any time of the year without that dip, which it can be very good, depending upon the products used to make it. I mean, if you're going to buy frozen guacamole and jarred salsa,
can you freeze avocados?
I'm not eating it. What?
Can you freeze avocado?
You can't freeze it, but you can chill it.
Yeah. I don't know why you would want to.
You just said frozen guacamole, and I was just
I don't know. In the supermarket, they have frozen guacamole. I don't know what they add to it to make it okay. So anyway, well, I thought it was, but when Super Bowl came around, you know, like a few days ago, I thought it was very funny, ironic, that avocados, which have been so expensive for the last number of months, I mean, they were up to, you know, in my neighborhood, at one point you had to pay $3 for an avocado, have plummeted in price, and chicken wings, which used to be cheap, have now skyrocketed in price. Now, they even got even more expensive for Super Bowl. So if you eat guacamole on Super Bowl, you were doing okay. I bought very nice size avocados, 3 for $5. And then I saw them around in other stores for approximately the same price. But when my Mexican housekeeper came on Saturday, she said, I've been buying them for $1 each. Now, if you go online, you're going to get very confused about why the cost of avocados has skyrocketed recently. There's a spurious story there about how the drug cartels have caused the price increase. I'm not sure how that works. I think it's more likely agricultural cycles and marketing. Something like 80% of all our avocados come from Mexico. So I don't know what the weather variances are in Mexico, but perhaps in some avocado-growing areas they've had bad weather. I mean, it's a farm product, after all. I predict there's going to be way more avocados planted in California and maybe Texas, other places where the weather is conducive to avocado growing. Only about 20% of our avocados now are domestic, and they're coming from California. But, you know, with this kind of demand, and the demand for avocados has skyrocketed because it's now touted, like kale, as one of those miracle foods. I don't think it's a miracle food, but I like it. and then there's the popularity. I mean, it's a silly thing, but avocado toast is like everywhere. At least here in Brooklyn, it's everywhere. And I'm sure that's increasing the price of avocados. Just like, you know, the rage for chicken wings. has caused a price increase in chicken wings. They were $3 a pound in my supermarket the other day. I thought that was a little crazy. It used to be one of the cheapest things you could buy. In fact,
what are thighs like now? Because you're absolutely right. They used to be very cheap. I'm just curious. You know, chicken wings, and wings have been such a, let's call it a feature at Super Bowl parties.
Well, it's a bar food. You know,
yeah.
Let's face it. Chicken wings are delicious, no matter how you cook them, pretty much. It's the tastiest part of the chicken, as far as I'm concerned. It's also, by the way, the most caloric and heavy in fat. If you care about such things, but look, I'm not looking it up, and I wouldn't do that now. But take my word, it's fattening compared to the other parts of the chicken. Of course, the breast is the least fatty, least caloric, and the thighs are somewhere in between there. And yeah, I don't know. I guess the price of thighs has gone up too. Now that thighs have become popular, they'll probably go up more. It's like. Here's another example, skirt steak. That used to be our cheap steak when I was growing up.
Right.
We couldn't afford, you know, fancy steaks for the barbecue in the backyard. My father would make skirt steak and Italian sausage. We weren't big on hamburgers. Other kinds of sausage, even hot dogs.
What would he do? Would he marinate the skirt steak?
No.
Okay.
Just put it on the grill, and that's what I do. I just put it on the grill. I love skirt steak. But my point is that it used to be a cheap cut, and now it's $20 a pound. And what made that so expensive was the popularity of fajitas.
Right.
Yeah. And that happened in the 80s or 90s. Now skirt steak is, you know, standard steak these days in restaurants, and they charge steak prices for it because it is expensive.
Once again, the awareness level, you know, people don't know that it was, and so you can make, you know.
Yes, but it was curious, and when demand was high for chicken wings around Super Bowl, they went up. But when demand was high for avocados, because guacamole is the most popular dip in America, they went down. I don't get it. So anyway, guacamole. Do you ever make guacamole?
Infrequently.
I don't make guacamole much because the person I feed, Mr. Bob Harned, doesn't like jalapenos and doesn't like raw onion. So without that, I feel it's just mashed up avocado, so I don't bother to make it guacamole. He's happy to eat, by the way. He loves avocados. He just eats it right out of the shell.
My mom...
With a little salt, that's all.
What my mom used to do is take out split the avocado, take out the pit, which we would then try to make grow. This is when we lived in California. And she would salt it. She would put a little bit of olive oil in the pit cavity.
Uh-huh.
And
that's nice.
And it was just the yummiest. And then it's a little bit like mashed potatoes and gravy. You chase the olive oil through the
I would like that. I would very much like that. And in fact, Cecilia, my Italian friend, she eats avocados with olive oil. In fact, she, by the way, did grow a pit and has an avocado tree in her garden now that produces quite a bit of fruit. It took years, but it does produce a lot.
You can do it.
By the way, avocados, and this may have been the year, you know, avocados are like olives. They only produce heavily every other year. I don't know how that works. Is it from the time of planting? I don't know how or do all the plants don't do well one year and do great another year? I'm not sure, but I do know that it's an alternate year plant, and olives are the same way. So I would like that. But I must say, I'm going to, talking about guacamole with Irene, my Mexican housekeeper, she said, oh, you know, I just mash it up with a little bit of lime juice and salt, and instead of onion, I use shallot because it's milder, and my girls don't like the raw onion. She has some teenage girls. And she said, and it's fine. And I'm going to try that. I'm going to get away with the raw stinky lily using shallot, and I'll just do lime juice and salt, and we'll see.
I will be there for that.
Yeah.
Because I have
I'm not going to do, you know, one of the charms of avocado is it has omega-3 fatty acids. It is a fatty food, but it's got the good fat, like from fish kind of fat, and very good for you, fat. And by the way, as a diabetic, it's also one of those foods that they recommend to diabetics because it's, I think it's practically carb-free.
Hmm. Well,
but of course, if you eat a bucket full of corn chips with it, it's not carb-free.
Well, that's part of the problem that people kind of, it's like that's the bit that you don't focus on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. By the way, I mean, you don't have to eat guacamole on chips either. There are other ways to eat it. I like it really on the side with stuff.
I like it raw, but I don't go by me because we
take some guacamole, even though they're included, take a thin slice of when tomatoes are in season, a little bit of onion, and then and then some cheese. And put it on a small wrap. It's really good.
Let me just tell you. Can I just say wraps are no better for you than bread?
Oh, I've got this one wrap. It's only 60 calories and it's very low in carbs.
What is it made of?
It's what was it, Jill? That I got it by mistake. I picked it up.
But your normal wrap has as many calories.
Yeah, if it isn't quinoa or whatever Marshall's.
Yeah, it's quinoa. I got it by mistake, and it tastes great. And
oh,
it's 60,
all right.
It's 60.
Well, when you get home, take a look at the package and report back.
I will.
I'm not a huge wrap fan.
Either was I, but
that's general. But I could, you know, I'm more your whole grain bread fan.
But at 60 calories, I became a wrap fan because.
Well, as a non really bread wrap whatever fan, I just would look for something other than a chip, and I don't quite know what that is yet. So, and a raw onion isn't going to.
You could take. These
I know what.
And make chips with them. You know, you just cut it into triangles.
I've got it.
And then bake them in the oven until they dry out, and then you got crisps. And I do this with pita bread, and you split it in half and make and these days you can buy very good whole wheat pita bread. I don't like white anything much these days. Although I must say, last night at Janet and Jackie's, we had very good bread from a nearby Italian bakery, I'm assuming. I didn't eat a lot of it, but I did eat some of it because it was so good. And also, I needed to mop up the juice. I wish I had the appetite to eat more of it because I wanted to mop up the juices from my clam sauce. It was so good. It was like soup. If I had a spoon, I would have eaten it like soup.
All right, now just figure out the guacamole thing.
I'm happy with guacamole as a little side thing.
I am too.
I really am.
If you want to crunch.
And just spread on a piece of toast. That's called, you know, avocado toast in Australia, and that's what they're serving everywhere around here. It's a thing now.
You don't want my idea,
even
do you?
Irene, my Mexican friend here, she says, my girls laugh at me, but I like avocado toast, which is totally not Mexican.
Here's my idea for guacamole. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, the bottom bits of a romaine stalk, romaine leaf.
Yes.
You could take the sort of white bits.
Yes, scoopers.
Make little scoopers out of that.
Endive,
that
whatever
too.
You call it,
yeah.
It works very well too. But I don't think it goes that well with the guacamole.
Bitter, but the romaine wouldn't.
Romaine would be good, but you know, and Marshall should heed this. You can make nice roll-ups with lettuce leaves.
Yep. In fact,
this is a famous recipe. When I first started making it, I got the recipe from Suzanne Summers. Can you imagine? and you know, she's constantly watching her weight, and she makes a pork shoulder, which I still make. But then she would serve it with lettuce leaves and all the condiments you were going to eat with it, which could all be nice, healthy things, chopped salad, whatever, guacamole, whatever. And make and serve a big plate of lettuce leaves for everybody to make their own wraps with lettuce leaves. And by the way, this pork shoulder, this cut of meat, which by the way was last week on sale around here for 99 cents a pound, I was very tempted, except it feeds umpteen people, and I didn't have umpteen people to feed. Anyway, it's the David Chang, the famous Korean chef who, well, he's Korean-American, has these momofuku or whatever they're called, some places in New York, and he's all over the place now. He's probably in Las Vegas by now. Anyway, he makes this, and it was a very funny. I saw it on the table when I was in the restaurant once, and we were sitting at a communal table, and the couple next to us from Westchester had come in to go to the theater, even though the restaurant was nowhere near the theater. They were doing pre-theater there, and the man from this couple was obviously a good cook by the way he talked at the table. But we were waiting to get into the men's room when we saw this pork shoulder, and they not only did they charge $200 for this pork shoulder, but it was the only way you could make a reservation in the restaurant, so everybody ordered the pork shoulder just to get a table. Yeah. So we're standing by the men's room, and I say to him, you know, $200 here. It was on sale in my store for 89 cents a pound the other day. He said, I live in Westchester. It was 99 cents a pound. And I'm trying. And enjoy that the Eagles win. The underdogs won.
All right. And we'll speak to you next week.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio. You can also find him on the web, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton. Flawless catering and event planning, hathawayyoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.